The second is stereotyping. So here, mentally, all of us have certain impressions. Impressions like women don't sit late, impressions like, the youngsters, the absenteeism in youngsters is very high. So if we carry those kind of impressions or biases and carry them on an interview table, a lot of times there is a tendency that all the questions or all the assessment happens towards these common trends. Like a woman is repeatedly been asked that how much time can she spend on the job, and if she is flexible, etc., etc. So instead of really assessing her skills, her intelligence, her competencies, her people management skills, the entire focus of the interview is only on the biased thinking that woman might not spend enough time on the job. So that's stereotyping. The halo and horn effects. A lot of interviewers at times create an impression about the candidate in first few minutes, and then they stick to it. They either get into a white or a black zone, like this candidate is very good or this candidate is not good at all. So those are certain constraints that we need to train the interviewers on and ensure that those kind of biases don't really interrupt the entire selection process. The contrast effect. The interviewers can allow the experience of interviewing one candidate to affect the other candidates. So if I am meeting 10 candidates for interviews today, and if the first two candidates were not really up to the mark, that impression of mine will carry forward, and the rest of the 8 candidates who would be really worth the while, I might carry the same impression about them, and I might end up rejecting or putting on hold a good candidate. So those kind of contrast effects needs to be taken out. Similar to me effect, this is very, very common in the industry. So if I am of a certain type of personality and if I am hiring for my project, I would have a huge comfort in hiring a similar personality. So this doesn't remain restricted to personality alone. It could be from a similar college, from similar background, from similar religion. It could be any kind of similarities that the interviewer might look at with the candidate. So those kind of biases we really need to come away from. The personal liking. So if the candidate walks in and the interviewer likes the way the candidate has dressed up, or the candidate has used fragrances, or the gadgets the candidate has carried, or the way the candidate communicates, or a certain approach of the candidate that he has spoken in first few minutes that really carried away the interviewer, and it has impact on the whole assessment. So those kind of as an interviewer, as an HR professional, we need to keep ourselves, not just ourselves, away from these biases, but also help the line managers to be away from it, to make the interviewing process really effective. Now, interviewing has been one of the methods which we looked at. The second method, which is less commonly used, but used by majority of the big companies, and used while hiring, typically hiring lateral hires or senior professionals, is assessment centers. Now, what are assessment centers? They are basically, like the name suggests, it's a center where the assessment of the candidate happens from multiple aspects. For example, a candidate is assessed for his problem-solving skills, his decision-making skills, his leadership skills, his presentation skills, at times his technical skills. So depending on what skills you are hiring for, or at what level you are hiring, and for which projects you are hiring, the exercises in assessment centers are decided. So these are the basket of exercises, simulation exercises, some presentations, some problem solving cases, etc. So they are the basket of it based on which the assessment happens. assessment of different aspects of the personality is done. So it is like this says that it is becoming increasingly common to use assessment centers in international hiring in countries like UK. This is really picking up in countries like Canada. This is really picking up. So assessment centers becomes a very good way of making an unbiased impression or making an unbiased decision. So there are certain things that we need to remember while we are creating or we are putting up an assessment center. The most important is that the tasks that we are putting up in assessment center has to be really relevant to what we are hiring for. So if I am hiring for a technical guy who is day in and day out going to do a technical job, and it's mostly a singular a person who will be involved in it, there is no point in putting a leadership related test in the assessment center. Unless, of course, there is a career path laid down which says that this person will do X task now and is supposed to grow up to becoming a leader of a business center in some time. So in terms of putting up the assessment test or simulation exercises, what we are hiring for and what we are assessing for needs to go hand in hand. So the hiring manager, the recruitment manager, and the assessment center and the person who is undertaking the assessment centers or running the assessment centers need to be completely hand in hand and understand the requirement well before we design the exercises for them. Right? Selectors must be the selectors in the assessment centers, or the person who assesses the outcome of the exercises, need to be really mature and a trained person. The biases in the assessment at this level might become very, very expensive both for the candidate and the company. So that needs to be really taken care. Selector must be trained. Selectors preferably should also have some training on interviewing skills and should be a good listener. Assessors might also get used to observe and comment on behavior, although they do not have necessarily take part in selection decision. So typically in an assessment center, an assessor might just give his inputs in terms of, you know, what he thinks has, you know, based on the response of the candidate, but he or she might not be a part of final selection team. So that is very important, because then you really get a neutral view of what the candidate is all about. You've not seen the profile, the assessor has not seen the profile, the assessor doesn't know the details of, you know, the candidate's overall experience. Neither has he interviewed him. So he has very limited information about the candidate. His entire assessment of the candidate is based only on how the candidate has responded to the various tests in the assessment centers. So for him to be neutral is very, very important. For him to be trained is very, very important. So we have looked at assessment centers, psychological testing, picking up trends, particularly in areas where there is a direct interaction with the customer, like a BPO center or insurance companies, hospitality industry. There is a direct one-to-one interaction with the customer, with the client. Here, psychological testing becomes very, very imperative. Not just in these industries, but also in the areas where the person is supposed to be leading, you know, number of people. There, the psychological testing becomes very, very important. With the increasing use of psychological testing, one can understand the psychological makeup or psychological biases of the candidate and really decide on whether it matches with the kind of job profile the person is going to come up with. Most psychological tests are designed and developed by occupational psychologists and accompanied by detailed manual. So there are quite a few very popular psychological tests available in the market. Both these can be taken both in a pen and paper way or online. Online has become really popular these days because the candidate can sit at the comfort of his home and take these tests and you know give his test without any time pressures or without any botherations. With personality tests, there are no right or wrong answers. They are designed to present the profile of an individual. Now, this is the most important aspect with both the assessment centers and the psychological tests. There is no right or wrong answer when it comes to the assessment centers or psychological tests. It only tells or focuses on the bent of mind of a person. So all the questions are designed in the way where there are checks and balances. So it's very difficult for a person to fake or to lie a psychological test, because you know if I fake in one or two more questions, the following questions will really pinpoint that I have been faking. So the most important instruction that needs to go to the candidate, that he has to be realistic in taking the test, and the most important learning or point of attention for any hiring manager is that there is no right or wrong when it comes to psychological tests or assessment centers. So again, a few checkpoints for you. What does the assessment center involve? Completing a number of different tasks, a question and answer session, or a pen and a pencil test. I'm sure you can answer this well. A poorly conducted interview may result in what? The candidates carrying a bad impression about the organization, no particular impact on the organization, or organization getting a bad impression about the candidate. So we have spoken about these when we said how important interviews are as a dialogue and not just a one-way interaction where only the candidate is trying to impress the company. It's equally important for the company to take an opportunity to form an impression about the kind of company we are, especially when we are hiring internationally. So moving on, let's look at what are the challenges and trends in international recruitment and selection. So because we have this entire chapter is about international human resource management, we will particularly look at recruitment challenges when we are hiring internationally. Typically due to globalization, the pace at which we are changing is very, very fast. So is the economy is changing, the business are responding to it, and so is the HR department supposed to respond to the fast moving world. So while we are recruiting, there are quite a few recruitment challenges obviously that we need to that we will stumble into and we will have to find an answer for. Retention, this we spoke some time back, that the attrition level in industries, particularly in service industries, is going very, very high. So the backfills that we backfills makes a major part of recruitment targets. So working on retention becomes very, very imperative. It becomes very, very important, because otherwise the business hurts. So attrition is one of the major challenges. Backfills is one of the major challenges of recruitments. Speed, like we spoke, the pace at which businesses are growing is really, really steep. Keeping up to that, backfilling positions. Filling up positions where new projects have come up, filling up positions where new skill sets have come up, filling up positions where the company is working on projects which is very, very niche and the skill sets are extremely niche and not available, those kind of skill sets and professionals are not available or very rarely available in the market. Those are, you know, very important challenges that we need to address. And when the speed comes into the picture, hiring those niche skill sets, hiring for projects which is, you know, rolling out in no time becomes very important as and at the same time very difficult. Position prioritization. Now, as a hiring manager, you will have at least 10 business managers sending you requirements, and during such, you know, situations, prioritizing positions becomes very difficult. So here the slight interference of the top management is very important, because otherwise everything becomes urgent to be delivered. As is the reality for most organizations, there will be always limited budgets and there will be always a lag due to pending approvals. And so this is where I said that interference of top management, the buying in from the top management becomes very important, because from the perspective that one is prioritizing in terms of which positions to be filled first, second is the budget, third is the locations. There are various things, mix of sourcing. So there are various things where we need to prioritize, and we need to prioritize keeping in mind that speed shouldn't be impacted. Workforce planning, very, very critical part of recruitment. Like we saw in internal recruitment, there are, you know, things like transfers and internal moves and parallel moves, etc., happening, promotions happening. So that is one part of it, and in the industries like IT industry or BPO industry, there are huge projects where there are thousands of people working, and when the project ends and delivered, all those thousand people are available for you to be put across in various other projects, various locations spread across the globe. So workforce planning becomes very, very critical here. It is all data driven, it is all driven by forecasting, it is all driven by planning and recruitment strategies. So all of that needs to be really taken care of, keeping in mind that we have very less time in hand. Competition with the startups, yes, there are both pros and cons of hiring for a startup and hiring for you know, big brands or established brands. So when there is a startup, people don't really mind paying higher skills, higher salaries, giving bigger designations, giving bigger responsibilities, which is one of, you know, the most attractive part for established professionals. So attrition from there really becomes critical, and which is why internal sourcing and moving people across the organization, across the globes, is a counter thing that we can do to manage this kind of recruitment challenge. Recruitment technology, I would not really put this under a challenge, but yes, if you are hiring in a big scale, when there are offers made in hundreds and thousands in a month or in a quarter, managing data becomes very, very critical. Typical historical math says that to hire one good candidate, you need to have 10 good CVs. So if you have 10 good CVs, you can finally manage to have one person on board who can stay with you for a good time. So then if you are hiring in thousands, you can understand number of CVs, the number of profiles you need to work on. You also can understand how many rounds of interviews you need to take them through, so the entire selection process. So keeping the data intact becomes very difficult, especially when there is a bulk hiring. So recruitment technology you not having help of technology in recruitment in bulk hiring can really be a challenge. These are the new trends. We will discuss the new trends in recruitments, in you know, how it is happening. Now, like we said, without technology, recruitment becomes very, very difficult. So technology not only to manage candidate, but also to attract candidate, but technology to source right candidates. So there are companies who have come up with mobile applications where you can apply through mobile job sites like Naukri. Have come up with mobile applications. They have come up with technology where you can apply for a position through an SMS. You can get to know about the new positions that are advertised on the site through SMSs. So everything available at the tip of your fingers. So mobile platform, getting onto it is a new recruitment trend. Video interviewing, especially in cases where we are hiring internationally. Video interviewing is very critical. The first interaction face to face is one, not possible, and two, not required. So once you have understood the profile of the person, once you have understood the interest of the candidate in the given or advertised position, it is a good thing to speak to the candidate over phone, but face to face interview definitely has a different impact. So video conferencing, interviewing on Skype, interviewing on mobile videos, this is something really which is picking up and which, like I said, is a good trend and will help recruitment, speeding up the processes in a big way. Other trends in recruitment, online candidate assessment. So this typically includes things like aptitude test or technical test. So the candidate, you need not have the, even for local hiring, for that reason you did not have to put up a place, separate place for the candidates and spend time in attending to them. You can just give them the login username and passwords created for them and let them take a test online. So online assessments of candidates is becoming popular and becoming critically important to come through. Remote working, all of us are aware of this, the concept of working from home, the concept of virtual working, the concept of virtual working in terms of a manager sitting in US managing people spread across hundreds of countries is becoming very, very popular. So remote working, even for recruitment when it comes to hiring internationally, is a new trend which is picking up. Accelerated internal movements. It has become increasingly important to move existing employees. We have already discussed this point where we have said, where we have spoken about this in internal hiring or internal sourcing. We spoke about promotions, lateral moves, we spoke about transfers. So this point only emphasizes it further says that, yeah, it is increasingly important to move existing employees to areas of higher impact. Internal movements also give higher comfort to both the organization and the employee in terms of culture fit and performance predictability. A quick check again. In the current times, one of the most important recruitment issues is what? We are having competition with startups or low cost. Some impactful current trends in recruitment are mobile platform, online platform, structured interviews or structured and video interviews. So I'm sure you will answer the first. That's the most impactful current trend, especially because of the speed thing that we spoke about. Moving on, best practices in international recruitment and selection. Now these are, few of the best practices that's happening. You can definitely go through this slide and know what they are. Apart from these, there are few things that I would like to share with you. So best practices, big companies or even small companies for that reason, startup for that reason, have come up with real good best practices in recruitment. Right from those are called real moments. So right from when you are approached by a recruitment company or by the hiring company for recruitment, how has been your experience? How was the interaction from the HR department, from technical department? Did the interview feedback come to you in time? How was the overall assessment process? How did the selection process go on? How much time did it take? Were there any hitches in terms of selection process? Also, how were the touch points once you have been hired? How was your experience of onboarding? So were there hassles? So organizations have gone to a level where, once the date of joining of the candidate is confirmed, for the first day, even his parking space for his car is also allotted, and that is sent to him by courier. The parking slot card is sent to him by courier. That is the level to which the recruitment has really improvised, or companies have really gone big way to implement best practices. So we have looked at this. Need for specialized HR agency, best practices, one of the best practices when we are expanding horizons, when we are expanding the geography, tying up with the right recruitment agency becomes very imperative, because it's not just about getting the candidate, it is also about how your company is projected by your stakeholders, external stakeholder like a recruitment agency. So how are they? It's not just about the assessment of their database, which is useful to you. It is also about how well can they present and help you in hiring right candidates. Recruiting locally. Yes, the four approaches which we spoke about some time back, recruiting locally is also catching up in a big way. Companies are more keen on catching on recruiting local candidates than picking up a foreign talent, unless there are one or two key positions where there is no great interaction with the market. Those positions can be hired from almost anywhere, but by and large, the bulk recruitments has to have a local flavor. So that trend is really picking up. This trend not just helps in recruiting faster; it also helps in lowering the cost and finding people who are better culturally fit to the organization. Good systems make a good practice. We spoke about it in brief, how technology is helping to create databases, how databases are managed when it comes to technology. For recruitment team to work quickly and efficiently, a strong system will ensure quick turnaround time. So good systems, yes, are imperative part of recruitment when we are expanding, when the business is growing. I spoke about this in some way, a personal touch. So when the candidate is, there are two parts to it, rather three parts to recruitment. One is your recruitment strategy, then is your sourcing, and then is your selection. So how has been the experience of a candidate through all these touch points, right from he being approached by the either by the company or by the placement company? How has been his experience? So those touch points really needs to be taken care of. Even after the offer is made and offer is accepted, a lot of things that goes in a big way in making a good recruitment practice is sending personal mails or messages to the candidates, keeping a track of his birth records, his anniversary, marriage anniversary records, wishing him on that day, sending him welcome flowers or sweets. Those personal touches really becomes important. Recruitment metrics. Now this looks to be something very easy or something very obvious, but it is neither easy nor obvious. recruitment metrics, especially when we are hiring in bulk, is extremely important. It is a function that needs a specialization. So when we are hiring in thousands, no matter which geography, so when we are hiring in thousands, this hiring is happening across the levels, across skill sets, across geography. So all of those metrics putting in one place, and then there are things like duplication check, there are things like one candidate applying to different places at the same time, etc., etc., just to ensure that somehow he slips through the selection criteria if he is not fitting into it, and somehow get into the system. So those kind of weed outs that needs to be done, that is one part of it. The second part of it is most important, keeping a track on what is happening, because only when you can measure what is happening, you can decide how you want to move forward, and how things are looking like, which direction to take, which skill sets to take, what level to take, which geography to take. So those things, more important than that, or probably equally important, is showcasing what you have been doing to the top management, to the stakeholders, both internal and external, is very important. So recruitment metrics, when using international job sources, you need to make sure that they are providing you value in terms of bringing applicants to your system. Again, a quick checkpoint just to ensure that you have been hearing and looking at the PPT. In addition to technology, what gives you an edge in international recruitment? Being present locally at a host country, personal touch, or knowing the local language? What do you think it is? Higher number of organizations these days are recruiting locally because of what? Unavailability of talent at home, ease of recruitment logistics, or lower cost? The obvious reason is lower cost and higher cultural fit. Now moving on to the next chapter, we will try and summarize what we have been watching and hearing since last about an hour. We have seen how international recruitment is critical for any MNC, any multinational company. We also started speak from the point that recruitment is a function which is very close to the heart of any head of HR or any CEO, only because it talks about expansion. It talks about how we are transcending the boundaries and taking businesses to different heights. We also saw why being global along with being local is very, very important. While we are global, we cannot go away from the local flavor, we cannot go away from the local talent, we cannot go away from the local culture and communication aspects. We saw that there are many types of approaches to recruitment, but these are the four most important approaches to ethos to recruitment: ethnocentric, polycentric, geocentric, and regiocentric. So these are the four approaches. We discussed them with their advantages and disadvantages respectively. We also looked at each staffing approach has its own advantage and disadvantage. We then moved on to looking at the sourcing part, where we said both the internal and external sourcing is extremely important. We also saw that internal sourcing, the trend of internal sourcing, including parallel lateral hires or parallel moves, is really increasing, which is a very positive trend both for the company and for the employees. Then after this, we moved on to looking at how new platforms are coming in, how technology is playing an important role in recruitment. We spoke about various selection methods, where we spoke about various kind of interviews, the barriers that interviews can bring in. We also spoke about assessment centers and psychological testings. We also looked at what are the major international recruitment trends that are happening in the industry today. So like the Starbucks CEO says that hiring people is an art, not a science. I completely agree with him because though sourcing is a science, selection of the right candidate is very much an art. So with that, we conclude our today's presentation, and I wish you all the best and happy recruiting.